Hey, greetings, everybody. It's Brother Tupos, don'tperish.com, John 424 Radio. Hey, I want to bring you another edition of our verse-by-verse studies. Today, we're doing James chapter 2. You can go to don'tperish.com, catch up on all the other verse-by-verse studies. Look for the verse-by-verse tab. Today, we're going to do James chapter 2, 11 through verse 16. Let's get right at this, and I hope it's a blessing to you as we go over God's word together and rightly divide it. Verse 11, "For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law." All right, so Brother James here is teaching us a pretty simple but important concept, and that is, it's of no avail to keep most of the law and then to go and break it in other areas. You become what? You become a transgressor. You become a sinner. That's what sin is. Transgression of God's law, the book of John tells us. And so keeping most of the law and then transgressing against one, you've broken the law. God has a very, very high standard. That word chata, it means guilty ones, criminals, sinners. So James is telling us, be careful how we live our lives. By what standard are we living by, judging by? And he goes into that in more detail as we go here. Now, the good news is Christ came to reconcile us, we who were sinners, right? We've all fallen short of the glory of God. And we're made right by Christ's perfect sacrifice if we're willing to seek him by faith, repent, be cleansed, as it says in the 1 John, by his blood. But if we go on and keep willful sin, keep sinning before a holy God, Romans 6:16, Hebrews 10:26 tells us that living in constant sin, willful sin, will mean the demise, the death, and the wrath of God. So we have to flee sin. And James is just backing this up here, saying all sin is a reproach against God. Verse 12, "So speak ye, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty." All right, so he says, speak and do. All right, we're going to see James go on to talk about being a doer of the word. Faith and works are going to become really evident in the latter part of chapter 2 here. And James speaks of the law of liberty. We're going to be judged by the law of liberty, which is what Christ has done for us, bringing in the new covenant versus Torah law that was a weight upon everyone who tried to bear it. James 1:25 talked about it. "But whoever looketh unto the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." So this word liberty, eleutheria, it means freedom, chiefly moral or ceremonial, liberty to do or not to do, having no relation to salvation. It's pleasing the one, living as we should live to please. So liberty, this is another whole teaching topic all in itself. We don't have liberty to continue to sin according to the New Testament law, the law of Christ, Galatians 6:2. This has nothing to do with us being having the liberty to live on in sin. Now, the Bible is so clear against that. This is directly involving the liberty that we have been set free from the Torah law to not follow it to our demise, but to follow Christ. And again, Galatians 6:2 brings us to the law of Christ. And we're bound by the moral law, the Ten Commandments. Now we're resting in Christ as our Sabbath. And there are some pre-Torah things we keep. That's another whole teaching I've done. You could look it up at the teaching blog. And what we're taught in the New Testament. So everything that's echoed in the New Testament for us, we're told what we're supposed to keep. And as Gentiles, The Torah law is not enforced for us today. It's not enforced for the Jews either, because you can't even keep Torah law today. No temple, no priesthood, things like that. It can't even be kept fully. You broke one, you broke it all, James says. So if you need proof of this and go, well, I'm confused by what you're talking about, well, go read the book of Acts 15. This very same James did not agree with the Jews, his brothers, that the Gentiles should be keeping Torah law, but they gave four things that they should keep. Acts 15, 24, 28, and 29. He said, "For as much we heard that the certain which went out from among you have troubled you with words subverting your souls, saying you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment," he says. Verse 28. "For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things, that you abstain from meats offered to idols, and from blood, and from things strangled, and from fornication, from which, if ye keep yourselves, ye shall do well." Fare ye well, he says. So right there, it tells us the Gentiles, we don't have to keep Torah law. Same James saying that. We don't have to keep the law. Peter backed it up in that same chapter, Acts 15, 9 and 10. Peter said, "And put no difference between us and them," God did, "purifying their hearts by faith, Jew and Gentile." Verse 10. "Now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear?" The Torah law. Jesus sets us free. We're living under the law of liberty today. Why? What is liberty? Freedom. Christ set us free to follow him and not be burdened by a law that we couldn't keep. In the law of Christ, we can keep it and walk in perfection. I'm doing a teaching on that right now. I just did it on perfection. You can go look it up at the teaching blog. Doesn't mean you will never sin before God. It means you're complete, you're striving, you're mature, you don't live in sin, you're being perfected as you go day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year. You're walking in righteousness and holiness, being sanctified before God, not living in your ongoing sin like people say all the time. Oh, Jesus did it all. We're all big sinners. You can't stop sinning. No. The call is to strive on in perfection, and Christ gives us the ability to do that. Hebrews 5, 9, he made the way for those who obey him, okay? But here's the thing that James is talking about, the law of liberty. This is all about Christ now. The Torah law pointed us to Christ all along. Torah law is going to crush us, but in the New Testament, law of liberty, following Christ in the New Testament by the Spirit, we are set free. John 8, 32. Wow, praise God for that. Brother Paul said this, Galatians 2, 4, "And that because of the false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage." The Jews wanted to bring the people back under Torah law. Paul was saying, follow Christ, the law of liberty. We have the new covenant now. Go read the book of Hebrews, tells us all about the new covenant. So the Jews wanted everybody under Torah law. Paul said, no, we are of Christ. He's our liberty. He's our freedom. But again, not to sin on under New Testament law. No, no. There is a law in the New Testament. We're not lawless people, but we're not Torah people. Big difference. Liberty does not give us the ability to live in sin. As I said, Christ came to set us free from the Torah law, from the death that it brought. We have victory and power over all sin to overcome because Christ is our liberty and we walk in the law of Christ. Isn't that awesome? I love that. We have so much to be thankful for because of our glorious Savior and what he's done for us. Verse 13, "For he shall have judgment without mercy that has showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment." All right, so Brother James is giving some practical ways on how we're to live out the Christian faith. This is an important one. I've been saying all through this James study that James is always talking about Sermon on the Mount ideals and some things from the Proverbs. Well, he's right in line with Jesus' teaching on the Sermon on the Mount here. Matthew 5, 7, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." And Jesus always taught about forgiveness. He had parables about forgiveness, forgiving others. Jesus went so far as to say this, Matthew 18, 35, "So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one of his brother their trespasses." Interesting. Forgive or not be forgiven, right? Now, as saints, we should have the nature of our Father, and that is what? A forgiving nature. And it's really the main crux of this is those who seek repentance and forgiveness. Matthew 18, Jesus says, if you win a brother, tell him his fault and he repents. Well, if you don't win him and he doesn't repent, you still forgive him in your heart as far as not holding bitterness, but he's still put outside the body like a publican. Yeah, Paul put that man outside in 1 Corinthians 5 in sexual sin, and he didn't. If he didn't repent, he would have never been reinstated. We learn in the book of Corinthians he was reinstated. So it is about forgiveness, repentance, and then redemption. None of us are forgiven if we don't what? Repent. Exactly. So redemption always requires repentance. The two go hand in hand. And that's what James is talking about here. Make sure you're merciful, ready to forgive. You've been forgiven much, like the parable. You better be able ready to turn around and forgive others, and then can cry out to God for mercy to forgive you. It just makes common sense, doesn't it? Love your neighbor as yourself. Ready? You want to be forgiven? Be ready to forgive your neighbor. And God will see to it who has repented, who's forsaken their sin. Amen? Amen. Verse 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and hath not works? Can faith save him? All right, here we go. We're going to get into this. We won't finish it today, but we're going to get into faith and works here playing a part. He goes into that area, and he's going to tie all of this together, and he's talking about a famous area of Scripture. Well, why is it so famous? Well, we're told it's of no use for us to try to do good works, that we're all going to be a bunch of sinners, that we can't live righteous. We're all as filthy rags. And all you got to do is have faith alone, grace alone to be saved. No Bible verse teaches that anywhere. In this covenant, they say you could just sin on and Jesus took care of everything. That's like getting married and saying I could just cheat on my partner all I want. I can abuse them all I want. No, you're going to destroy your covenant. Covenant's an agreement of two parties, right? So it'd be useless and vain if we don't have faith with works. We don't love my wife and take care of her. My wife doesn't honor me, obey me, and be faithful to me as I'm faithful to her and love her as Christ loved the body. Amen? So, I mentioned it. This is really important about this faith and works because churchianity, the evangelical world, is built on this faith-only salvation, faith-alone salvation. They teach you that you're saved by faith alone through grace alone. Yet not one Bible verse teaches that, not even close. This is a Martin Luther heresy. Go look up my article on Five Solas Exposed on my teaching blog at don'tperish.com. It's heresy. Salvation by faith and grace alone is a lie. All right? Would you tell that husband or wife in a marriage covenant that you're saved by the marriage commitment alone and you can cheat and you can abuse her and she can cheat and she cannot disobey you, she can disobey you and you're still okay? No, of course not. The covenant stands with our actions. Faith in the covenant, our actions. Faith in God, our works go right with it. If you demean your marriage covenant, your husband, your wife, by how you act, you demean God and the new covenant by living in sin, do you not? You do. It's demeaning. And it's a stain in God's nostrils if you continue to do that. The Bible doesn't teach that anywhere. The Bible calls us to holiness and obedience to the new covenant that we're walking in. Now, I want to be clear. We are saved by grace through faith, Ephesians 2, yep, but it's not alone. That's the big difference. The rest of the Bible and James 2 teaches it's never alone. There's always works and fruit and obedience and holiness behind saving faith and salvation. Go read the book of Hebrews chapter 11. It's showing many people and their great faith and their works right behind it. Let me give you one example. Hebrews 11:7. By faith, Noah, well, they stop right there. See, by faith, Noah found salvation. Hold on. Being warned of God and of things not yet as seen, moved with fear. So now we got fear. We're supposed to fear and tremble, right? Fear God is the beginning of wisdom. So he had faith and he feared, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Works. By which he condemned the world and he became heir of righteousness, which is by faith. See the circle? By faith. He feared God, he did works to obey, and it was by faith that he got salvation. Not one person, when I ask them this in the streets, I'll ask people all the time in the streets, if Noah didn't build the ark, would he survive? Would he have survived the flood? And not one person ever looks at me and says, yeah, Noah would have survived the flood, no problem. No, they all look at me and go, yeah, he probably would not have survived the flood. He would have died. So Noah needed faith and works. Did he not? Yeah, he did. He needed faith and he needed works. Go to my teaching blog. I got a lot of articles on that. It'll help you in it. Faith that is saving is always marked by works of holiness and obedience. James in that verse says there's no profit. No salvation will be seen. If your faith doesn't move you to works of obedience, it's not a saving faith. Your fruit, or lack of it, shows that you don't have the Spirit or you've gone back into willful sin. Think about that. You've gone back into willful sin or you were never born of God to begin with. Either one damns you before a holy God. Does that make sense? Read Matthew 7. Jesus said, trees are known by their fruit. Matthew 7, 16, 18. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Catch that? The fruit is so important because it's evidence of what kind of tree you are. If you have a saving faith, show me your fruit is what Jesus is saying. Faith and works, as we get further in chapter 2, we're going to see this over and over. Verse 15, if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food. All right, so James is going into more practical application here, giving us a direct example of how we're showing that we are of this living God by faith and works. A brother in need, he's talking about. Verse 16, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, and be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body. What doth it profit? All right, so James is just basically saying, hey, I got faith in God. Yeah, I love God, and I love my neighbor, and I love my brothers and sisters, but I don't back it up by works. Yeah, we're going to learn coming up. Faith without works is dead. Yeah. Jesus gives us a great illustration of this. Luke 10, 33 through 37. I love this. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And he went to him, bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, set him on his own beast, brought him to an inn, took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said to him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said unto him, go and do thou likewise. I like that. Go and do thou likewise. So, faith and works. Your faith is going to back up with works, and that means holiness and obedience, keeping the new commandment, commandments in the New Testament, which is the moral law. We still keep the moral law. Faith and works. We are made for good works. Ephesians 2:10. We're made for good works, are we not? And those who are not doing the daily works of holiness and obedience according to the kingdom of God, and they're living in and practicing sin, false traditions, flesh, their own ways, are they showing the fruit that they're of God? No, they're not. That's what James is all about. And that's what all these false churchianity, evangelical, all the different cult groups try to tell you is, oh, it's by faith alone. Jesus did it all. You can do nothing. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches we're in a covenant. I teach this all the time. He did his part perfectly. We have a part to play. We can't save ourselves. We can't work our way to heaven, but works are part of our saving faith. That's how I like to say it. It's the fruit that you're of him to even begin with. A husband or a wife who is faithful and loves their partner and takes care of each other, that's fruit that they're in that covenant. If you see a man out whoring around or a woman out whoring around, that's fruit they're not really committed to that covenant. Makes perfect sense, doesn't it? Absolutely does. So it also reminds me of the bad branches. John 15, Jesus is the vine and the bad branches get cut off and get cast in the fire, right? Not producing much fruit. Jesus said, you will produce much fruit. And then Jesus talked about the lukewarm and he said, he'll spew you out in Revelation 3:16. There's a couple bodies there that just had a few things wrong and they were in danger of getting spewed out. Think about that. This is serious stuff. We don't want to be one of them. We want to be striving in holiness and obedience because we know him and walking, as I talked about, in perfection. That means maturity, complete, moving on in the things of God, up and on every week, every month, every year, getting better and better in our walk, growing, striving, walking in holiness, keeping the commandments, sharing with people, being examples, growing up in the things of God, so that one day we can be a pillar in the temple of our God. I really like that verse. So we're going to leave it right there. Coming up, we're going to see James go into more faith and works. It destroys the faith alone, grace alone heresy, which I love doing because I hate every false way, but I love the people that are caught up in it. And these people are so lost thinking that they can do nothing for God. No, you can't save yourself. You don't have perfect righteousness, but you can do much for God. He calls us to do much. I encourage you to go look at my article on perfection. Yeah, over 30 times, about 30 times in the New Testament, God calls his people to perfection. That means complete maturity, not you never, ever, 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 ever make a mistake in sin or choose sin. It means complete maturity and completeness. Walking in his ways, growing in his ways, just like you should get better as a husband, you should get better as a wife, you should get better as a parent, as your children growing up should become better adults, young adults, all moving on, as Paul says in Ephesians 4, for the perfecting of the saints. So that's what James is trying to teach us here about faith and work. So we're going to leave it right there. Next time we're going to pick up and go probably from 17, about 5 or 6 verses forward. So I hope you're enjoying this. Hope it was edifying to you. Go test everything I say to the scriptures. We love you in the Lord. Travel and preach in Christ. Getting in a position for a preach, hopefully this weekend if it doesn't rain. And pouring out on our website to edify the saints around the world. We love you all. Till next time, go out and have a glorious day. May God be praised.